So I had one sermon prepared, and on the way here, I heard about the killings again in the Jewish community. It saddens me. And we think about those apostles, the disciples of God, of Jesus, who were in that room. And they were in that room because they were so afraid. They were afraid that the authorities would come and kill them like they did Jesus because they were followers. Evil prevails in the world. We cannot deny it. What we must do is not allow that evil to penetrate our hearts. Jesus, when he came in, said, "Peace be with you." Each one of us must hold a place of peace in our hearts, in our lives. If need be, find a place in your home that you will make a small altar. A place when you look up, it will bring you peace. Maybe it's a picture, maybe it's a statue, maybe it's a candle. But some place that with all the turmoil and the hatred and all that you hear, that when you look at it, it reminds you that Jesus said, "Peace be with you." We cannot go out and make major changes, but we are influential. As we carry peace, that's one more person that is bringing peace into a troubled world. Jesus breathed on them. He breathed the Holy Spirit. He gave them courage. That breath, the Holy Spirit, gives us courage. Courage to continue living in a world that is troubled. Courage to show up in church when one may be afraid that somebody will, for some unknown reason, decide to bomb us. If I have to go, let me go praising God. Not that I want to, and I'm sure you don't either. But we cannot allow fear to keep us away from praying. Think about the attacks. Mosques, synagogues, churches, houses of worship. Houses where people are just coming together to pray to the God that they know. That's evil. That's the evilness that's trying to destroy the goodness in the world. And we cannot be part of that. We have to be stronger than that. We have to take the breath of Jesus that gives us courage to look it in the face and say, "Not me, not now. I will continue to worship. I will continue to pray. I will continue to be the light that needs to be shined in this world." And when we hear people speaking bigotry and hatred and anger, we must stand up and say, "No, I don't believe that way. I can't listen to this. I can't be part of this. This is not who Jesus taught me to be." We all have our doubts. A lot of people pick on Thomas. But let's face it. If I was there and saw Jesus hung on a cross and was scared to death, and somebody came to me and said he's alive, I'd have my doubts. And it's okay for us to have doubts. Because it's within the doubting that we find our way through it to have faith. All Thomas had to do was hear Jesus' words. And he said, "My Lord and my God." If we continue to hear the words from the scripture, the words that are spoken in love and compassion, the words that teach us the way, it is those words that give us faith. Faith to keep going in times of trouble, not to get too discouraged with the woundedness in the world. Each one of us play an important part. We can either be the light or we can get caught up in the darkness. That's our choice. That's our choice. I want to choose light. I want to choose love. And I want to learn how to forgive, to understand that whatever is driving this evilness, that I pray that somehow God's light can penetrate through them. We need to have that penetrated. Some of it starts in childhood. Some of them feel that they're not good enough. Some of them are so isolated that they find these strange pockets of people that are angry. And in those pockets, they find a place, a belonging. Somehow we have to help them understand that our church is a place to belong and that you can be loved and accepted just for who you are. And frankly, some Christian churches are failing in that. I had a friend just this week who moved to France. We were studied shamanism together. We were crow sisters. And she wrote me and said, I found a wonderful church in France, but they want me to denounce my shaman background. Do I have to do that? And I wrote her back and said, that's a part of who you are. That's a part of your spiritual journey. We can't deny who we are or what we've learned or where we've been. What we can do is take from that and move forward. She said, well, I used to be an Episcopalian. Would they accept me? And I said, absolutely. So there are still places that want us to deny our very essence of who God has called us to be and on the journey that God called us to. We can't deny that. And so for us, we still have a job to do. It's to be who God called us to be and the way God called us to be. And to take that and to feel that love that we are worthy, that God loved us enough to send his son, to open for us the gates of heaven. We're all worthy. And to help those who feel so dark and so isolated that there is a home, there is a place where they don't have to feel that way anymore. And we can do that by being a light in the world. And when people see that in us and say, I want what you have, you can say, come join me. Come be just who you are. You're wounded, your scars. Remember, Jesus died on the cross. When he appeared to them, he appeared with the wounds. He didn't try to be perfect anymore. He was a wounded human just like us. And with that, he still had the graciousness to breathe on them and give them the Holy Spirit, to give them the courage they needed to move forward, knowing that they may face death, but also knowing that even facing death, they face life. Amen.